Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Game week is here. Playoff game week. Joined by the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell. Good morning, coach.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Talk to us about last week and the feeling of not having to prepare for a game and what that was like.
Well, I mean, it was good to get a minute to take a breath. I've said this really all along. It was the big thing is it's one less game to get to where your ultimate goal is, and that's really what the bye does. Certainly to be able to heal up a little bit, but look, there's plenty of teams that don't get a bye, and you're rolling into the next week. So we would have done whatever we needed to do to be prepared for the next playoff game, but it's good to be sitting where we're at.
How did you handle the bye week, the time off? And I know everybody, hey, you can watch film at home, you could do everything remotely, but managing time with family, trying to just give yourself a mental break, but also knowing that, hey, every week is do or die. How did you handle the time yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I did a little bit of both. I did. I had my stuff with me, but I didn't come in the office. I stayed at home. And so I was able to do that, which was important. That was good. It was good to be able to do it. I think the hard thing, it's good, you get a little time, but as far as preparing and, all right, man, here we go, it's do or die, we still don't even know who we had, and so you'll drive yourself crazy going, all right, I'm going to watch Green Bay now. Okay, now I'm going to shift the gears back to Minnesota. Okay, now I'm going to go to Washington. You start trying to go through all these different opponents you could possibly have, the Rams, and to me, it's just not worth it. And so I just worried more about us and looking at us and a snapshot of what we're doing well, not doing well over the last, call it 2 months.
Dan, how did last year's playoff experience, how does that shape the locker room for these moments now ahead?
Well, I just think we're more experienced. The vast majority of our group, the core of our group now, have been through it and been through it together. And so we know what that experience is. You're a young, hungry, eyes wide open group, but they were very mature, handled it well last year. And so now we know what that is. And you don't lose the hunger, you just gain some experience. And so now we know what's coming in here to face us, a team that hadn't been in this position in a long time. They got their culture moving in the right direction. That's exciting. And man, they're looking for the next win, So we know we got a very good opponent in here that's going to be hungry. But the good news is we're an experienced team that's hungry as hell, too.
So when David Montgomery went down, Jahmyr Gibbs stepped up in a big way, as did the entire team, which is something that has been a signature for this entire team. Somebody goes down, somebody else steps up, and it's not just one individual. But now that David Montgomery is back and available, how do you handle, before he went down, it seemed like it was almost 50-50 in terms of carries and touches. Now that he's back, is he the guy that gets the first carry? Who's going to handle short yardage? How are you managing having him available with the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs has been such a weapon, not just all year, but in the last three games?
Sure. Well, first of all, we'll have our walkthrough today, and really tomorrow will be our real heavy lifting practice, tomorrow and then Friday. And so I think the first thing is, we know he's ready to come back. We know that he's looked good in his rehabilitation, all those things. Let's see him with bodies around, full speed. We need to get a true gauge of just where he's at, how far back is he, get his confidence back and moving and all that with the bodies around him. And then we can kind of gauge, okay, man, he, you know, this is where David's at. He looks great, feels great, he's confident. All right, and this is what we're going to use him for. So I hate to just say this is how much we're going to use him right out of the gate without even have gone through practice. But I do know this, though, provided that there are no setbacks, there's a place in this game for him. There is definitely a place in this game for Dave Montgomery.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell ahead of playoff matchup with the Commanders. Let's talk about them. They're a team that likes to go for it on fourth down. They're very good at it. What's that like for you? Normally, you're the one doing that to other coaches. Now they're going to throw that back in on your plate.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, Minnesota went for it last week. And I kind of expected them to, you know. So I don't think it's anything abnormal. You know, we'll be prepared for it. I think Dan's done a good job out there with that crew. You know, they put themselves in third and fourth and manageable as much as possible. We're going to assume they're in four downs. You know, they do a good job possessing the ball and really taking away as many possessions from the opponent's offense as they can. So we know what we're getting ready to face, but I mean, this is, I know it seems like, oh God, man, this team, you know, they do go forward and forth a lot. But that's not abnormal for us. AG, our defensive staff, our defensive players will be prepared for this. And it still comes down to executing on each down.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, so I would like to talk about that final game against Minnesota briefly, just in terms of Alex Anzalone. Where was his biggest impact? We saw what he did against Hockenson. We saw what he was, you know, the same linebacker that he was prior to the injury. But where did you see the biggest impact of having Alex Anzalone back on the field?
It's funny because when you just asked me that, I said I would rather, you know, probably the easiest answer is where did he not impact the game? Maybe there's one of those somewhere, and I don't know where that's at. I mean, he impacted the game in multiple areas, multiple ways. I've said it before, he's a productive player. He's smart. Guy's headsy, man. He understands ball. He understands our defense. He watches a lot of tape. And he's one of our captains, man. And so when you get that three layers of a player back, man, it has a huge impact. And so I just think, man, him really getting everything set up, the chess pieces, all of that for us. But then just his hustle and hit, man, his hustle, hit, his cover ability. Look, you asked for one, I'm going to give you cover ability. Mm-hmm. All right, that was probably the biggest impact, but there was more than just that. It's great to have him back.
Jaden Daniels, I know you were asked about him yesterday, and the question was stopping a mobile quarterback, and you said, well, who does it well, right? I mean, they're a problem for everybody. People have said he's not playing like a rookie anymore. Like, when you see him, what do you see on the other side?
Yeah, I just think he's composed, you know. He doesn't get frazzled. He sits back there. You can see him. He knows where to go with the football. They've done a good job with the system. You know, there's enough of this progression/RPO. You know, they've got a run game that isn't just, inside zone read run. I mean, there's a little bit of gap involved with it, so that helps him. You know, they do a good job of alleviating some pressure off of him and letting him play fast and play pretty clean. So I just think, you know, he never really looks like he doesn't know where to go with the football. And then he's got pocket presence, so if it's not there, he can kind of find his way in the pocket, feel it, and then he'll take off running. You know, if you give him a rush lane and it's clean and it's open and unabated, he's gone, man. He's gone, and he's got speed and he's shifty. You know, he throws a good deep ball. He's playing at a high level for a rookie. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. He just doesn't get frazzled.
Is there any difference, and the simple answer, baby, no, but is there any difference in building a game plan in all three phases for a playoff game versus a regular season game? Regular season, maybe you're saving something for a different opponent, but in this one, it's, hey, if it's a loss, season's done. Is there any difference in constructing a game plan for a playoff game than a regular season game?
No, not really for us. I mean, there could be every once in a while. Maybe you're saving something for an opponent down the road. Those will come in every once in a while. But honestly, since I've been here, this has been about you find a way to win each game. And I don't care if it's regular season or if it's the playoffs. And that's what it's about, is finding a way, using all three of your units to come away with one more point than the opponent. And so nothing's off the table. It's going to take all three phases, and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And that's important, because we've really been in this for a while. You do whatever it takes to win the football game. And so everything's on the table right now.
Road to the Super Bowl goes through Detroit. What does it mean to you to have these home playoff games in front of these fans on Saturday night?
Well, one of the things that, you know, and I said this last year, and, you know, I talked to Coach Payton after last year's loss, you know, just a number of things. But I, one thing that I knew that was going to be important was trying to make this thing run through Detroit and for all of us, you know, because we've got a unique fan base. This is a unique area, and it really is a home field advantage for us, man. We got the whole area behind us, the whole city behind us, that whole stadium, and that really is like our 12th man. So, and that only helps you. It's not going to hurt you. It only helps you. So that was important, and we were able to do that this year.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We're ready for Saturday night. Appreciate your time.
Good luck, Dan.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell, 97.1. Hey, how about the Pistons? Picked up a win last night. Cade Cunningham going toe-to-toe with Jalen Brunson. It's a playoff team. Showing a little emotion, Cade Cunningham. Scoring a ton in the second half, leading the way. And then late in the game, they tried trapping him. Extra pass. Malik Beasley, not once, but twice. Imagine that. Little shooting around Cade Cunningham. Little development from him.
Mm-hmm.
And this team's turned a corner.
Yep, and he's got the green light. Whatever Cade wants, whatever he sees, he could do.
What was the Bickerstaff quote? Neon green. What's more green than that? Ninja turtle green. Uh-huh. That's the green light that Cade's working with right now.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And hey, we've talked about it. They're playing so well, they're going to lose their first round pick. And not shedding a tear.
No one is. I mean, the NBA draft is such a gamble to begin with, unless you've got the number one overall pick. And
it's got to be the right draft, too.
Right. It's got to be the right year. And if it's going to be, you know, if you're not going to have a lot of ping pong balls in the hopper, then just win games.
Oh, don't get me wrong. There's a benefit. Cade is proof of it. He's the number one pick. But we've also seen this team tank for Victor Wembanyama and pick fifth. We saw them just a year ago set the franchise low point and pick fifth. I don't need the odds. I don't need the ping pong balls. I need progress. I need this team playing meaningful basketball, and they are right now. So, hey, I know, you know, we've given the Red Wings some love. I don't want the Pistons to feel left out and all this. All the teams are stepping up right now.
They are, and we're in a sweet spot right now where we are the Wings, hey, seven. Like, and going for eight
tonight. Yep,
that's impressive. It's fun, and they're clearly right now on the upswing. The Pistons upswing. The Tigers, we saw it. They finished on the upswing. We'll discuss that more as we get
Bregman.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I know.
Yeah. So,
but everything's trending the right way.
Yeah, and it's fun, and it's that's what Detroit sports fans deserve. This is one of, if not the greatest sports fan base, and we have all been very patient with all of our teams, and now is the time to enjoy the fruits of those hard times.
Absolutely. I mean, Campbell's talked about it. We just had him on about home field advantage for the Lions and how unique it is. I mean, it's 60 years of misery for people. It's their entire life for people. And now it's everything you've ever dreamed of. You're the one seed. You're favored. You got the team to do it. You get it at your house on a Saturday night. And John, I love that you brought it up. It's a Saturday night. You don't have to work the next day. You can have a great time at that game. And it's going to be. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be loud. I don't know how
it should be.
How will it compare to last year?
So I was at that game last year. I'm not going on Saturday night, this Saturday night. At least that's not as of yet. But I'm not sure it can. I mean, every time I say I'm not sure it could be any better, it gets better. And I think this is knowing that you're the one seed, having the confidence that you should go into this game and absolutely crush the Commanders. I do think this is a night game. there's going to be a lot of people that show up at 8, 9 in the morning, 12 hours prior to game time, just to be able to secure a parking spot or just to be downtown and watch and feel the energy that Detroit is bringing to this game. So they're going to be priming the pump early.
People are going to work themselves up.
Oh, yeah.
Like last year, the divisional round was Sunday, and it was during the afternoon, right? If I remember correctly. This is going to be an all-day
sucker
build-up. And we're going to be out of B-dubs downtown. I know Rieger and Mark Ryan are doing a show before Rico and I. But downtown's going to be alive from sunup until sundown. And I don't know how it will compare to last year. I think the first playoff game last year held maybe a little more emotional, pent-up energy because they hadn't won a game and because of who was on the other side and how much Lions fans wanted to rally around Jared Goff and prove a point and make a statement. And I don't know that you can ever replicate that, but I do think it'll be bigger than the Bucs game from a year ago. And the NFC title game, if they're there, is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Like this crowd is absolutely going to go crazy.
It is. It's going to go bonkers. It's going to be one of those opportunities that Detroit sports fans, and they've shown up, they've stepped up at every step along the way, whether it's the energy of the playoffs last year and getting the bonus of a second home playoff game because of what Green Bay did on that same day to Dallas. That was the death of Dallas, and it carried over to this year. But it was the draft. It was everything that the fans have celebrated going to training camp. Like they were giving away tickets and people were selling the gifted tickets because people just want a slice of what is going on. They want to see what's going on. They want to feel what's going on. And Saturday night, I think it reaches unknown levels.
We're going to talk about last night's game and what it means for the Lions. You had the Rams, you had the Vikings. We'll get to that at 8:35. Let's get to Heather's news.
All right, so for Lions fans that just can't get enough of their team's fandom, there is now a local hair salon that will help you go the extra mile. Dye and Fly is offering a special on Honolulu Blue hair dye. You want to go all in and go all out, head there. They're offering it at any one of their locations over the next few weeks. And the salon's founder said his business is doing everything and anything to enjoy the Lions' success, including creating this iconic Honolulu Blue hair dye.
Would you do it?
If it was like a semi-permanent color that would eventually wash out after a few shampoos, sure. I mean, I had purple hair once. So
you did?
Yeah, but it wasn't like super like bright. Like, well, it was, but it wasn't like this. It wasn't
what
like
was the
this.
Occasion?
Nothing. It was just that
you just wanted to go with the purple hair.
Yes.
John, did you know this about Heather?
No.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever saw it.
I never saw it. No, you've showed me a picture of the purple hair.
And so, yes, but this is the bright, bright blue. So I'm not sure I would do that, but maybe depending on, I need to learn a little bit more about the hair color first. But anyway, it is fun. You can do it at any of their 6 locations. The promo will run until the Super Bowl. You can go online and make an appointment.
If you're all in, I think Friday we see the hair dye. I mean, we know, or Colin.
Would Colin
do it?
I think he could do it because men's hair, you could just it grows out. And cut. You cut it, right? Like, I'm not going to cut my hair off. No, I mean, I could eventually get rid of the blue. There's ways around doing it. It's fine, but I don't know if I'm willing to take
that step.
You're
just not all in.
But I love that businesses are doing this.
So fine, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No,
would you do it?
No.
Okay, so
you don't really believe
John doesn't believe. Yeah. But I've seen, there's a pizza place doing like blue, pineapple, like Honolulu.
Yes.
Blue. Like, everybody's in on this.
You've got something you can turn blue.
Do it.
Yes. An Indiana woman won $500,000 from a scratch-off lottery ticket she got as a white elephant gift. Okay. So this was the Michigan lottery. They have those Detroit Lions instant games. That's actually what I was going to give you guys for Christmas. But when I went up to the little kiosk, they were all sold out of those ones. So I went with a different game. Pretty cool. Anyway, though, this woman, 25 years old, she originally, during the white elephant gift, you know how you take one, can steal one. She'd originally opened the gift her dad bought. It was a flashlight, right? Whatever. It's It's a flashlight. And he had gotten the lottery ticket as his. And after the game, he's like, you know what? I'd really like that flashlight back. So they said, you know what? Let's swap gifts. She gave him his back. He gave her the lottery ticket. Well, on Christmas Day, she scratched it off. Also happened to be her birthday. And she thought she won $50,000, which is quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Then she scanned it. And when she saw that extra zero, she said, speechless. Couldn't believe it. So she plans to buy a new car, invest some, and then also share some with her cousin, who was the original purchaser of that lottery ticket. And of course, her dad and her mom, who, you know, swapped the gift in exchange. So pretty cool. Fun way to win. That's what I always hope. Like, I was hoping one of you would just like hit it big. Because how fun is that? Like,
oh, because you gave us lottery tickets.
Yeah, I gave you guys lottery tickets as part of your gift. So it would have been fun if one of you would have won something. But
of course, we would have given you some money back. Like, that's only the right thing to do.
I mean, at least the money for the ticket. I'd take a couple bucks.
Oh, more than that.
I mean, it's more fun. If you won like $1 million, sure.
Yeah, throw you more than $5.
But I mean, if you won 50, I would say, that's your gift. That's awesome. Congrats. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So tickets for the Lions Commanders games are so, I guess you could say, expensive that they cost more than the other three games combined from this weekend.
Wow.
So according to Vivid Seats, the get-in price for Lions Commanders is higher than the combined get-in price for the other three divisional round games. So in theory, they say that means you could buy tickets for each of the other second round matchups and spend less than it would cost to go to the single Lions Commanders game.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right. So just, also, beware when you're buying tickets, because if
Scammers.
The price seems too good to be true, most likely it's a scam. And actually, on Monday, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel did kind of release a warning to Lions fans to look out for scammers, because they are there and they are ready to pry on your fandom. So, she said, make sure that these tickets are actually authentic tickets. They could just be screenshots of these fake tickets. So don't fall for that. Don't let these scammers tell you their big sob story about why they can no longer go to the game, because that could just be a way to get you to purchase the tickets. They might reach out to you on social media because you've been posting so much about the Lions.
That's
Don't
a red
fall
flag.
For that.
Yep.
And be leery about sending money through money apps before you actually get the tickets. Like, don't just, I'll sell you some money. Here's $1,000, and then you don't have anything to show for it.
It sounds obvious, but remind people, because people will fall for this stuff.
They do.
That's Heather with the news. By the way, Tickets Extra says they just passed the home bakery and there's already a long line.
Wow. It's not surprising.
I want to go. I was trying to plan, like, what time's the best time to go? Not when they open, not around lunch, not before they close. I got to get that, like, weird time to go buy a cookie.
Yeah. It sounds like there is no good time.
Yeah, the problem with going to a bakery, though, is it can't just be a cookie. Then all of a sudden you see, that cupcake looks good. Wow, look at that.
A pie.
Yeah, look at that cake.
I'll take the whole cake. Let's go.
That's what happens when you walk into a bakery.
All right, coming up next, Rams or Eagles, who's the bigger concern? What did last night mean for the Lions? It's 97.1.
Hey, from...
Sean McVay, Rams coach, talking about not just what they've been doing on the field, but harnessing some of what's going on off the field in L.A. And we've seen teams do that. What did you make of that Rams performance? Like, as we kind of scan the landscape for the Lions, what did that mean for Detroit? Like, if you want to be prisoner of the moment and guilty as charged, the Rams look like they're playing better than the Eagles do. Right? I mean, the Rams have a Super Bowl head coach, Super Bowl quarterback. Their offense is certainly capable. They beat the Bills scoring north of 40 points. And the defense, this young group, I think they did steal from the Lions' game plan, but they were able to get to Darnold, pressure him. He's holding the ball. He's seeing ghosts. The Rams look legit, right? 10-3 the last 13 games. They've got the pieces. They played the Lions close. Like, are they actually a bigger threat than even the Philadelphia Eagles are?
Well, you got to look and say, okay, what are the superpowers of these teams? What do they do best? We know that the superpower for the Lions is the offense. Superpower for the Eagles, while they do have Saquon Barkley, and they do have an offense that can be dynamic, they're somewhat limited because of Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is a dual-threat quarterback. He could do a lot of things, and the tush-push is always going to be a threat, but they just haven't produced offensively for whatever reason. They've got one of the best offensive lines. Arguably, it's between them and Detroit. The Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, like, they've got weapons, but their offense just never seems to be as dynamic as you feel it should be. It's never the threat that it is. So it's always been the defense. This year, not last year,
right.
This year, the defense is greatly improved.
This year, their defense is the best in football.
Yeah. And then you look at it, but again, a good defense doesn't really concern me with this Lions offense.
No.
I think the bigger concern, and I know that the Lions defense played really well to great against the Minnesota Vikings, and they have stepped up in so many different ways at different times, but I still got to believe the biggest threat is the Rams, and it's the offense, and the fact that even in that game last night, they didn't have to utilize Puka Nacua very much. He had 5 receptions. Cooper Kupp had 1 reception, and Tyler Higbee was their leading receiver for, you know, per yards. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think he had 5 catches as well, same as Nacua. But they're really hard to figure out because they as well have all these weapons offensively. But if you look at the last bit of their schedule, yeah, they, you know, they found a way to beat the Bills. But after that, yeah, a lot of wins, but it was offensive struggles, 12 points against the Niners, 19 points against the Jets, 13 against the Arizona Cardinals.
They've gotten into some of these lulls. My point is just at their best. Like Stafford came out of the gates and they're blitzing, and the Lions are going to be a team that has to blitz. And he's carving up a Vikings defense sending pressure. I think we can also acknowledge this Flores defense works against average quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Goff has no issue with it. Stafford has no issue with it. The high-end quarterbacks, you just can't dial up blitzing repeatedly and get away with it. So it would worry me as a Lions fan who's got a blitz to face a quarterback who can cut through. And I don't know if Jalen Hurts can, right? We've seen him.
Right. I think that's the big question.
He's more of a wild card. I think I know what I'm getting with Stafford. He's going to come out slinging it. He's going to play you tough. And the Lions are winning the head-to-heads, and I think they'd win the head-to-head. But doesn't it feel like today, this morning, when you wake up, that they're actually a bigger threat than even the Eagles, who we've spent so much time highlighting? You let us know. 248-539-9797. The Rams, they won by double digits. And I know some people are going, well, it's because Sam Darnold's no good. You got to be very careful, because that's not what we were saying when the Lions beat the Vikings, right? We can't have it both ways. If the Lions thump the Vikings and it's a statement and it's look how good this team is, when the Rams do it, we can't go, well, actually, it's not that impressive.
Well, it could also just be the Honolulu flu, because what happened after the last time the Vikings lost to the Lions?
They lost to the Rams.
They lost to the Rams.
How about that pain for a Vikings fan? Not that we feel bad for them, but just imagine you have deja vu. You went through it once, and then you go through it again in even bigger games, and you thought you were building something with Sam Darnold, and I don't know about that. No, that is pain that we get to take great joy in now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Minnesota decides, because Sam Darnold was on a 1-year deal. Now, most people believe they'll franchise him so that they retain the rights. They don't have to necessarily pay him, and it's a 1-year deal if nobody ends up wanting to trade for Sam Darnold. That's how they get some value out of him.
And it's insurance if JJ's coming back from the injury and you don't have to throw him out on the field week one. Yeah.
Now, I don't know that anybody would be giving up first round picks for Sam Darnold, but there are a lot of quarterback situations in the NFL where teams would look and say, you know what? I don't have a path to a quarterback. I don't have a path to an improved quarterback room through the draft or any or free agency. So, yeah, I mean, Vegas. Is Sam Darnold an upgrade for them?
Pittsburgh.
Like there's a number of different teams that you could look and say, well, you know, so that might be the path for Minnesota moving forward. But in regards to where they are now, I think there is a lot of truth to the fact that the Lions really shook the confidence of Sam Darnold.
Absolutely.
And it took him a game early in the season to get over that. Now, the second opponent was a common opponent in the Rams both times, and they lost to them. A lot of things can be true at the same time. Sam Darnold may not match up well against the Lions. We know he doesn't. May not match up well against the Rams. But I think there is some truth to the Lions absolutely shook the hell out of his confidence. And it takes some time to get over that. There's just no time in the playoffs to make that adjustment or to get over that.
Yeah, asking you guys what last night meant for the Lions. 248-539-9797. John, we have not heard this theory yet. It says, not going to lie, seeing the Rams get 9 sacks against Darnold made me wonder if our defensive performance last week may have been fool's gold. The Rams did what we did, but even better.
Okay, well, they have more legit pass rushers. But what Aaron Glenn was able to construct defensively worked against Minnesota. That same game plan's not going to work against Washington. Exactly. Won't work in totality the way it did against Minnesota, against any other opponent. Now it's up to Aaron Glenn to put together a plan that works best for Washington, that puts together a plan that's best for either the Rams or for Philadelphia. We know he can do it against the Rams. He's done it twice already in the last 2 years.
Ticket Texter says, Nate in a truck, what concerns me most is the Rams. I don't want to have to face Stafford again to go to a Super Bowl.
You don't, but I think in the back of everybody's mind, how many times has this team slayed the dragon?
Repeatedly.
And you don't want to have to keep slaying the same dragon, but if you have to ultimately achieve the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, then put them all to rest.
And I think the way you have to look at it is kind of the way we looked at last year when they met. People were afraid of what if they lose, and you really should think about what it means if you win. Like, how poetic was it to win your first playoff game in 30-plus years against your old franchise quarterback with your new guy and backing Jared Goff and showing just how far you've come in his organization? It would be that on steroids if you did that to go to the first Super Bowl in franchise history. So I would prefer not to face him because I think he's really good. But think about what it means if you win. And you should expect to win. You've beaten him twice. You're at home. You'll be favored. Like, instead of maybe dwelling on, what would it mean to beat Matthew Stafford to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, that would be another big statement.
The ultimate Jared Goff chant.
All right, so if you said it was on steroids, though, to beat him, I agree. Wouldn't it be on steroids the other way, too?
Yeah.
And that's what people don't want to see. Interesting trend in the quarterbacks, and this usually happens probably more often than not, but I think it happened in every game this weekend. The better quarterback has won in the game. You guys would agree with that, right? Stroud, the two debates are Stroud over Herbert.
I'm fine with that one.
Daniels over Mayfield. Potentially premature.
But if you told me like that's where it's going, yeah, sure.
Well, the one that made the catastrophic mistake, lost the game. So if you do that going forward, how do things play out?
Well, then you would say, Lions Goff is better than Jaden Daniels.
Right.
And you'd say Stafford better than Hurts.
Yeah, but I do think there's a debate there.
Yeah.
Because of Hurts' mobility. But usually pocket passers that, can handle the pressure in the playoffs in the pocket, and Stafford's proven that.
Yeah.
So then if you take it down the other road, you have the classic Stafford-Goff debate again.
And I see why people are nauseated. But it does feel like it almost feels inevitable with the Rams waking up and the Eagles kind of looking sluggish in their first game. Maybe this is all overreacting to 1 week of NFL playoffs, but you let us know. Eagles, Rams, who would you rather play? Oh, but we're looking ahead. It's just a fun question. Take it easy. It's 97.1.
Hey, from big upsets to game-winning drives, the NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Absolutely guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. The FanDuel app gives you everything you need to place live bets, same-game parlays, and so much more. It's all in the app, so download the app, explore it a little bit. Plus, when you win, you're going to get paid instantly. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/97.1 the ticket to join today and get started with $200 in bonus bets. That's FanDuel.com/97.1 the ticket. Make this playoff season unforgettable with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rams beat the Vikings convincingly. A double-digit win. 5 of the 6 opening playoff games were double-digit wins. I know we're the show that has the audacity to occasionally break out in disco, sequins and all, but doesn't seem that rare. Lions are 8.5-point favorites against the Commanders. We would have the audacity to think they'd win by 10.
And the opening line was 10. So Vegas thinks that it's going to be not close.
Yeah, again, if the Bills can win by double digits, if the Eagles can win by double digits,
Ravens.
If the Ravens and Rams can win by double digits, you're not a homer to suggest the Lions would cover the spread by 2 points.
I would say if Vegas opened the line at 10, they're very concerned about a blowout. To have a 10-point spread in a playoff game is, especially in the second round.
Well, I think
they're concerned about the one seed sitting at home having a break against this upstart team coming into a hostile environment.
Why wouldn't this be like the Bills Broncos? Great team, rookie quarterback, 8.5-point spread. One team pulls away late after getting their best punch. Like the Broncos brought it. Like Bo Nix had a big throw early in the game. I think Jaden Daniels will make a couple plays against the Lions.
He will. He's a good quarterback. I mean, rookie or not, he's a good quarterback.
But I resent the idea that we're painting our face and coming in here and saying Lions because Lions. We gave you the biggest football reason in the world. Their run defense is terrible, and Detroit's built on a running offense. It's a rookie quarterback in a completely different environment, as tough an environment maybe as there is in this NFL playoffs. Like, I'm not going to vilify someone who thinks it's going to be close, but I'm certainly not going to feel like, well, we have to respect the playoffs because you don't blow people out. I'm watching blowouts everywhere. Everybody's blowing people out early in the playoffs. You want to tell me they're not going to blow out the Eagles or the Rams? You want to say they're not going to blow out the Ravens or the Bills or the Chiefs? Fine. But to act like the Commanders are a team that, like, there's no way. You're ridiculous or foolish to suggest. Come on, guys.
We've seen a Lions offense that can put up points at will, a special teams that can put up points and put the offense in position to put up points.
Yeah, pack in some points.
And we've seen, outside of what the Lions have done this year, at every step along the way of the playoffs, not just this year, there's only been one round, but we've seen NFC Championship games be blowouts. We've seen Super Bowls be blowouts. It can happen. You're talking about the two best teams in the NFL that given year, and one of them is just more dominant. This is a case where the Detroit Lions should be much more dominant in this game.
Like, we had TJ in yesterday, and he said he didn't think it was going to be particularly close. And we even talked off air. We didn't even do an official disco yesterday, but I think off air I looked at you and I said, by Friday we're going to be discoing, aren't we? Because we feel so good about this matchup. And I think there's nothing wrong with feeling that way.
I think the Bills game had a humongous impact on what most people's viewpoint of the Lions, and just the fact that they think their defense is going, that defense is going to show all the time. And then you also had that was a huge game. It was one of the biggest regular season games of the year that the entire country watched.
Yep.
And it was awful, the defense. And then the defense was really awful in another national television game against the Niners. The three touchdowns, people tuned it in. They see it. They can't stop anything. Oh, unless Brock Purdy airmails a ball. And then Darnold went Darnold. So this whole narrative, I think, is being built against the Lions defense, why people think this game will be close.
Well, there's some truth to the Lions defense being a weakness.
Yes, it is. I overstated that. They're a mediocre, middle-of-the-road defense at best right now.
And they can win with it because of this offense and because of turnovers and because you trust Aaron Glenn to have a good game plan, especially this week against a rookie. You got to win that chess match. But I don't think they've truly felt the loss of Aleem McNeil yet. And we will at some point in this playoffs feel the loss of Aleem McNeil. I don't think that we've truly felt the loss of Carlton Davis yet. And they will at some point. They're going to have to rally. They're going to have to make one more play, offense or defense, to win these games. The good thing is they're playing the games at Ford Field, and it's the backdrop for all of this. We've got ticket texts from you guys reacting to last night's game and what it means for the Lions. Ticket texter says, guys, I want the road to the Super Bowl to be beating the rookie of the year, Jaden Daniels, then the old quarterback, Matthew Stafford, then the GOAT, Patrick Mahomes. That's from Roger in Ypsilanti. It's a pretty poetic route.
Yes, it would be very poetic. It would be awesome.
Can't script it any better than that.
Yeah.
Rams would be a Kirby versus Stafford grudge match. I don't want angry Stafford with the way he's been playing right now.
So where was angry Stafford in last year's playoff?
I think he showed up. I think he was.
Oh, there's no question he did. Yeah,
but he just wasn't. The Rams aren't better than the Lions.
Right. Same thing. You know, in week two of this year. I'm sorry, week one of this year. Week two was the last.
They came back down two scores, forced overtime, didn't get the coin toss. And they're in the game. I mean, I don't want to downplay what they're bringing to the table.
No,
they beat the Bills this year. I mean, their quarterback and coach have won a Super Bowl.
Right. There's a lot of threats that they have. There's also threats that the Eagles have. There are threats. I know maybe people don't want to hear the fact that we are talking about this game against Washington. There are threats that Jaden Daniels and this offense has, or the defense. even though they might be limited. There are threats that they provide in this game.
Texter, this is Jake, says Rams are contenders, but please, let's not give them more flowers than they deserve. The Rams offense only scored 20 points last night. Got 7 from defense. They haven't been world beaters. They're averaging 22 points per game.
It's,
you highlight it. They've had stretches where they just get stuck in neutral and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, when you the loss that they had against the Dolphins, they scored 15 points. The loss to the Eagles, they scored 20. In wins at the Saints, they scored 21. They scored 12, 19, 13 against the Niners, the Jets, the Cardinals. Like, it's not like this is the offense. I know that there are threats that Nacua presents. And same thing with Cooper Kupp. Same thing with their rushing attack. And it all starts with Matthew Stafford, their quarterback. But let's not look at this as the greatest show on turf.
It's not.
The greatest show on turf this year
plays
is on our side.
Yeah, I know. Let's get to Mike in Belleville. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I would think I'd rather play the Rams. I think Ben Johnson's going to be more familiar with them, obviously playing them twice. Twice in the last 2 years. Give him a third time, I think he's going to be even better yet than the Eagles not having played him in the last couple of years.
It cuts both ways, right? Like the familiarity?
Yeah, I guess it does. I was just thinking about that as I was saying it. It does kind of go both ways.
But, Mike, I'm going to back you up in this. If you feel like you've got good coaching or better coaching, it's an edge to you because it's the chess match.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the adjustment to the adjustment. If you feel like both your coordinators are head coaches, you got 3 on staff, nobody's working with that.
Yeah.
So that is the edge. Ben Johnson says the well is deep. And I don't know if people believed him at first. They're like, why are you wasting these trick plays and blowouts? And he goes,
let me see something new.
I have so many of them. I can't run them all. Like the idea that he's not going to have a counterpunch or not have something set up. I think that was one of the keys to this offense going from good to great is that they show you a look from a formation, from a set, from a play, and it's setting up something later in the game. I mean, they're just very strategic in what they do offensively. In addition to having all pros and explosive playmakers, it's a really smart offense. All right, we got more phone calls and ticket texts on the Lions and what last night means for them, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Eagles. And of course, you can talk Commanders at any point all week. We're going to make a risky decision as a show coming up next. I want to try to work in the Pistons. Can we get away with that?
I think so.
I think people are starting to wake up to what they're doing. We'll talk Pistons as well. It's 97.1.